Haska is, for those who have never seen me before, that's nice, this is New Jersey, in Li'ilui Nishmas, Aviva Esther Bat Yisrael, Avram. Okay, Shlach, Tavshanayim Gimel. It's strange. Vaydav Rosham Moshe Lemo Shlach, Vaydav Rosham, descend for yourself, men, the Yisroos, Eretz Kanan, and you'll spy out Eretz Kanan, and you'll know some of the and give to the Yisrael. One man per Shevet, Kishlach with us, you send out Kol Nasivahem. So Moshe Rabbeinu only davened. As we see later on, he only davened for a student of Yeshua. He never davened for color. Never said anything about color. So that's the first part. That when it says, later on it goes down, it says, Elish Mosar Nashim, Layikra Moshe Loshe bin Nun Yoshua. He davened for him. Why did he daven for him? So Rashi tells us, Mispalo love, Yah Yoshiach Miyatlas Maragim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved you from the eighth of Maragim. Why not daven for color? Why not daven for all of them? Why wasn't he davening for everybody? Why was he davening just for Yoshua? That's the first question, number one. Number two, Kalev is praised at the end of the parsha for what he did, for arguing with the Maragim and going up against them. Kalev is called out. Akev, Kalev, he was on my side. What about Yoshua? Why wasn't Yoshua on his side? Kalev went to Hebron by himself to go bow down on the Kibriah Bos. Why wouldn't Yoshua go? Why was Kalev going by himself? It seems that there were two different methods that were being done. One by Yoshua, one by Kalev, that were being done over here to try to fight against the Maragim. What were those two different drachmas? So the Chafetz Chaim says an amazing different thing. When Rishayim seem to rule over the world, there's two ways you should act. One of the two should be done over here. Number one, you could incite their anger by showing them you don't agree with them whatsoever. Get up in front of their faces and say, I don't agree with you whatsoever. There's nothing that you do or that you say that I agree with, and you get up and you make a macha right in front of their faces. If you do that, there's a problem and there's a good thing. The problem is, they hate you forever and they could kill you. That's the problem that usually is. The good thing is that, okay, you won't be influenced by them. There's no influence whatsoever that you'll have from those evil people. However, the other way is to seem to agree with them, never outrightly agree with them, but seem to agree with them in the beginning, and then afterward argue with them vehemently when you have people around you who can back you up. When you got back, that's when you go back and you're able to go up against them. Yoshua obviously was the first one. He went up against them and he was ready to fight them to the death over the fact that they were saying that Eretz Yisrael was bad. He was willing to go up against them. But the problem with that is he might be killed. So therefore, Hashem should save you from the atzaf of the Maraglim. Not what they were trying to do to say bad about Eretz Yisrael, but from the fact that they might kill you. Because if you're going to go up against them, if these things really do happen, then they might kill you. You need help to be safe from that. Kalev, he wasn't afraid of that happening to him, because Kalev wasn't going to fight them automatically. What was going to happen? Kalev might be influenced. So that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't daven for. It's either you're going to be influenced or not. So what did Kalev do to make sure that he wouldn't be influenced? He davened by the Kibrei Avos, not to be affected by what the Maraglim were doing. Because that was his idea. His problem was trying to not be influenced. Therefore, he went ahead and did that instead. That's the idea behind it. And that's the concept between why they were completely different from one another. Later on, when Kalev stood up and he argued with them, he only argued with them because he saw Yoshua had his back. He saw that there were other people in Klal Yisrael. There was Moshe. There was Aaron. There were other people around that were great, great tzaddikim that didn't fall prey to what the Maraglim were doing. He saw they were behind him. That's when Kalev got up. And that's when he argued. Now, obviously, both of them are proper drachim, and both of them can be used and are used in many different ways. But the way of Kalev is a little bit easier. To stop the hatred and stop the sinna of Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu liked better, even though he could have been influenced. He wasn't influenced. In the end, it worked out well. But you can't suggest to a person to do that. If you suggest to a person to do that, he's going to be affected by what you have, what you see, and that's the difference between them. So what was the problem with what Maraglim did? I mean, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to go into Eretz Yisrael to see what there was there, and afterward tell them what they saw. They did. They saw it. They came back and they said it. Right? They came back and they said exactly, they reported exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to see. It's not like they said anything extra or anything crazy. They said there are massive giants there. The fruits are huge. We don't know if we're going to be able to survive. We have no idea what's going to be over there. Here's the difference. That's the Mashiach of the Ishbitzer. You have to look in. He wasn't saying that they should just be Maraglim spies, as you just heard of the Chuppah. Maraglim is not mentioned anywhere throughout the entire Parsha. It's not the word used. It's the word Viasuru. Viasuru means to dig in, to almost be yachbor, to dig into the case and figure out what's going on behind the scenes. Not look at the outset nechitzonius and see what the grape is. See what the grape means. Why are there big grapes in Eretz Yisrael? There are huge giants here. Why are there huge giants here? There are people dying every day when we walk around. Why are the people dying? Figure out why. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. He didn't just want the nechitzonius just to say, like, is it big? Is it bad? Or what kind of a land is it? He didn't care about that. He cared about digging in and trying to figure it out. Since they didn't do so, they saw an all-consuming land, and Eretz Ocheles Yoshvel Hi, a land that was doing that, they said, right there, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should have gotten to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to open up their eyes. They didn't do that, and that was the problem. There's still very many strange things. What happened? They were there for 40 days. 40 days walking through. They left on Chav Chesivan. They came back all together at the beginning of everything on Tisha B'Av. They came back on Tisha B'Av. So the question is, what does that mean? I mean, if they came back on Tisha B'Av, they came back on that day. They were there for 40 days. They were punished to have 40 days, one day per year. One day per year altogether. That means that they were punished for 40 years to be in the desert. 40 years they were in the desert. Why? Didn't they have to go through Eretz Yisrael? Didn't they have to travel through Eretz Yisrael anyway? Wasn't that the point? How could you be punished for something that you have to do? So how were they punished 40 years for 40 days, which they were doing anyway, which they were trying to get involved with anyway? What would be the point of that? Why was that considered their punishment? So to do that, we have to have an unbelievable answer. The answer given by the Gan Rava. I think we might have to stop. There's no doubt in the matter right now.